Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Louder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, well, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again today. It really is. So, what can you expect to hear during our 30-minute time together today? Well, during our radio seminar, you are going to discover that according to the Bible, there are ways that God will and will not use money in our lives. You're going to learn from Clark Howard what grocery store products are going up the fastest. John Maxwell is going to share with you his thought on time management. And we're going to wrap up with a couple of great real-world financial, family financial questions from listeners, which will include a great quote by the late Mr. Larry Burkett. Now, lots of great information coming your way today. You're not going to want to miss a single minute of it. But as we start, let's start as we always do, and that is with the word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for meeting with us right here again today. Thank you so much. And please, will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear? To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, right off the bat, here is what I want you to do. I want you to get out a pencil and some paper, because we're going to have a short 7-question yes-no quiz, okay? That's right. You're going to kick off this time together with a short yes-no quiz. So if you're at home, just grab a piece of paper and a pencil and write down the numbers 1 through 7, and then write down your yes or no response to each question. Now, if you are driving, do not do that. Don't do it. If you're driving, just answer yes or no in your mind. Okay? Are you ready? Here we go. Here are the 7 questions. Remember, either yes or no. Number 1, do you and your spouse tend to argue about money? You either do or you don't. The answer is either yes or no. Number 2, do you place some normal daily expenses on your credit cards because you don't have the cash or enough in your checkbook to cover the cost? Number 3, do you sometimes pay less than the total of what you owe on your credit card bill? Again, either you do or you don't, yes or no. Number 4, do you sometimes pay one credit card bill with another? Are you unaware of how much you owe and to whom? Number 6, do you sometimes have some dishonest thoughts running around in your mind about your finances, or maybe even a get-rich-quick scheme or two? Do you? Yes or no? Every now and again, maybe, sometimes? Yes or no? Last question. Do you find it difficult to tithe and to give as your heart would lead you to tithe and to give? Okay, now obviously, my friend, I'm not going to be able to collect your papers, right? Check your answers. No. But here's the bottom line. If you answered yes to any one of these 7 questions, well, then there is a good chance that you may be in or headed into financial trouble, okay? More specifically, you may be headed into or already experiencing what is called financial bondage, and that is exactly what our next several radio seminar times together are going to be all about, financial bondage. You're first going to discover how God does and how he does not use money. All right? Now I might as well tell you that right up front, not to worry, because after our financial bondage times together, we're going to be talking about financial freedom, what it is, and how to get it. But first, let's make sure that our biblical financial foundation is in good shape, okay? And let's start with a quick review of the 2 most important financial principles in all of God's Word. There are 2, and the first is wealth according to God's definition, okay? Now remember from our prior discussions that you find from the Bible that wealth, according to God's definition, well, it is everything that he has ever given you. It is everything that he has ever placed into your hands. Okay? It includes, oh, it includes your house and cars and finances and all the rest, but it includes so much more, like your time, talents, abilities, and skills. Maybe the fact that you're a husband, a wife, a mother or a father, a boss, or an employee. And what is important to God about all that it is that He's given you? It is your attitude and how you use it, how you use what it is that He has given you, okay? How it is invested and reinvested and put back into the kingdom of God. That is what is important to God. What is not important to God about the wealth that He gives you, that He places into your hand? The amount or the value of whatever you have been given. Why? Because simply it all belongs to Him to begin with. Right? That is the principle of wealth according to God's definition. Now, the second most important financial principle in all of God's Word is all about stewardship. Stewardship. Now, do you remember our definition of a steward? What was it? Do you remember? A steward is simply a manager of another person's property. That's what a steward is. And you found that each one of us, you and I, well, we are all stewards. And that as a steward, you have some rights. For example, you have the right to manage what God has entrusted to you. And second, God may give you the right to keep some for your own enjoyment and use. But remember, along with the rights, my friend, you also have some restrictions. At some point, you can full well expect the owner, you can expect God to reclaim all that is His. And at that time, you as a steward are going to be held strictly accountable for how you manage your trust fund from God. Okay? All right. So, those are the principles of wealth and stewardship. And we're going to come back to them quite often as we work through our radio times together. But right now, let's continue to build on these two principles to see what God's Word has to say about how God will use money in your life and how He wants to use the material areas of your life to His glory, okay? All right, so let's dive back into God's Word. And as we do, well, I can remember during all of the years that I spent in the Air Force, after the Lord got a hold of my heart, I remember that I had a hard time finding time to have a good quiet time. I mean, you know, with my wife and the work and play and all of the rest. But now, well, now it's part of my job. I mean, one of the great things about being in full-time ministry is that it's easier to take the time to talk with God and become deeply involved with all of these spiritual disciplines. And the more time we spend together, the more He shows me. For example, do you know that in the Bible, there are over 70 different names for God and over 150 different descriptions of God? Did you realize that? I mean, in the Old Testament, God was the great I Am, El Shaddai, Jehovah, and Lord of War, and many, oh, so many more. And then in the New Testament, Jesus gave His disciples and you and me a new way to address God, right? In what we call the Lord's Prayer, well, that's where we find that we can call God, what? Our Father, right? Even Abba Father, which means Daddy. You see, according to the Bible, we can have such an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord God of the universe that you can snuggle right up into His arms and call Him Daddy. And I got to believe that that is to help us understand that God is not some genie in a bottle, nor is He a stern taskmaster that's just looking for some excuse to jump out and to punish us. No. You see, as our Father, we are to recognize that God loves us. You know, it's been said that God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us to love. You see, He not only loves you, but according to the Bible, God has a will and a plan and a purpose for you. And do you know what? According to the Bible, many times He wants to use money. Listen, many times He will use wealth according to His definition to help bring about that will, that plan, and that purpose. How? Well, let's take a look at a handful of different ways that God says he wants to use money in your life, okay? And as we do, keep your eyes open to see just how many of these you're going to see up and operating in your life, okay? All right, now, first off, God will often, according to the Bible, God will often use money to allow you to determine your trust in him. How so? Well, Luke 16:11 says this. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Now, again, just like you've already seen, be assured God does not need this demonstration. God knows exactly what's going on inside you. The Holy Spirit keeps him up to speed second by second. No. This demonstration is not for God. It is for you. It is for you to demonstrate your trust to you so that you can see where you are spiritually. Listen, it is a thermometer for you to be able to take your own spiritual temperature. And by the way, remember, you either trust him or you do not. Now, true, I know sometimes you may have a problem with that, right? I mean, for example, sometimes while doing some financial coaching, I hear people say, Bob, sure, I trust God, but I can't get along without my credit cards. Why, I might have an emergency. Well, when I hear this and after looking at their credit card spending habits, I feel like saying, my friend, boy, you have certainly had some emergencies in your life, haven't you? But let me ask you, what emergency is too large for God to handle if you truly trust him? Let's have time for just a quick story. I heard one time about a baby Christian. This pastor was discipling a brand new baby Christian, somebody who had just prayed to receive Christ in the life, and the pastor was teaching him all about the spiritual disciplines, you know, hearing, reading, memorizing, meditating, studying the Word of God. How to get to know him and trust him and to be so close to him as not to miss, you know, that still small voice. You trust him. When you trust him, he's going to rescue you on your day of trouble because it's going to give him glory, right? Now, the new Christian was just like a wet sponge. Man, he was allowing it all to sink in. And one Saturday, he drove up to the church for his time with the pastor, and it was raining cats and dogs outside. And he pulled up and went into the church, but he forgot to turn his lights off in the car. So when he came back out 2 to 3 hours later, he got back in his car, reached down and turned on the key to start the car. But guess what? The car wouldn't start. I mean, the battery had run down. The lights were on, so the battery had run down. The car wouldn't start. And man, that new Christian, he got mad. I mean, he thought to himself, he said, oh my goodness, here I am going to church on Saturday, for goodness sakes, and giving up my Saturday to be at the church, and what happens? My car won't start. But then he thought, now wait a minute. Pastor's been teaching me that if I cry out to God in my time of trouble, he's going to rescue me because it's going to give him glory. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to pray and ask God to start my car. So he took a deep breath, bowed his head, closed his eyes, and prayed, and he asked God to start his car. Then, after he prayed, he reached down, turned the key to start the car, and guess what? The car would not start. Well, now that new Christian got really mad. He got really upset. I mean, he jumped out of that car and ran back into the church, and he found the pastor, and he said, Pastor, you lied to me. And pastor said, now, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, wait, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And the guy said to the pastor, he said, You told me that God was trustworthy and I could trust him. And I could call out to him in my day of trouble and he would rescue me. Well, I did and he didn't, and you must have lied. And the pastor said, no, wait a minute. Let's back up here for just a second. Because there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. So the pastor asked the guy, he said, how much time have you been spending with God every day? I mean, 4, 5, 6 hours a day? And the new Christian kind of chuckled a little bit, and he said, come on, man, I've got a wife, 37 jobs, and 14 kids. Give me a break. And the pastor said, oh, okay, you're right. I'm sorry, but how much time have you been spending with the Lord every day? I mean, an hour, half an hour, 15 minutes, 5 minutes? Well, the new Christian just kind of hung his head. 3 minutes? I mean, surely you've been spending at least 3 minutes a day even thinking about the Lord. And the new Christian, he said, no, Pastor, not every day. And the pastor said, that's it. I know what the problem is. God is trustworthy. He just didn't recognize your voice and probably started somebody else's car. Now, true, not a true story. This is a fictitious story, but the principle is valid, is it not? I mean, do you sometimes treat God as some genie in a bottle? And you say that you trust him, but you really, really don't? You live your financial life in any way you want, and when you get into trouble, you go into the closet, you bring down the genie in the bottle and ask him to come out and solve your problem, knowing full well that after he is done, you are going to get him back into that bottle, put him back up onto the shelf. Have you ever tended to work that way with your finances? Well, my friend, if you have, that is not a father, and that is not God's plan, and that is not trust. Remember what you learned, how you use or misuse the material areas of your life. It is a good, visible, outside indicator to you as to the quality of your relationship with God. God tells you that he will use money, he will use wealth, according to his definition, in your life for you to better see whether or not you trust him. Do you trust God, or do you just say that you trust God? And I'm telling you that according to the Bible, God can use money to help you answer that question. More, well, lots more coming during our next radio seminar time together. Don't miss it. Now, if you've been to the local grocery store lately, you have no doubt seen that prices, a whole bunch of your favorite food items are going through the roof. Am I not right? And you may be wondering which one of these items are going to increase the most over the months to come and why. Well, according to our consumer advocate friend, Clark Howard, there are some, first of all, some good reasons why the prices are going up, and I'm sure you've already heard this on the news. So you see, not only is record-breaking inflation impacting food prices, but so are ongoing supply chain problems lingering from the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as new supply issues related to the war in Ukraine. Now, what we need to do is to take a look at some of the things that are going up the fastest and which ones Clark Howard expects to continue to go up the fastest. Now, why is he sharing all of this with you? So that, one, you can buy now, stock, and save later if you can. But also, he's going to share with you another good reason, another good way to be able to possibly offset some of these price increases. First of all, what are the things that he sees going up the most in the months to come? Uncooked poultry, canned fruits, frozen and fresh and freeze-dried prepared foods, dairy products, uncooked ground beef, fresh fish and seafood, fresh cakes and cupcakes, flour, prepared flour mixes, bakery products, oranges and tangerines. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty much my whole shopping list. Now, that's what he's given you. That's what he sees is going to keep going up the most. So if you have a chance to buy and stock up and freeze or can or whatever, this would be a good thing to do. But he also says that one way that you can get better prices on these things is to make sure that you compare the price of the store brand with the price of the name brand. And if you try the store brand, you're just apt to find that you like it every bit as much as the name brand. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that some of the times the store brands are produced by the same name brand companies, okay? So that's what Clark Howard says is going up the most and what you can do about it. Thank you again, Mr. Clark Howard. Well, it's now time for one of my favorite times together with you, and that is our Minute with Maxwell. Now, remember that each time we hear from this world-renowned Christian author and speaker and coach, during each Minute with Maxwell, you are going to gain insight into a single word, and an insight that can really add a great deal of value to you in every single area of your walk with the Lord. All right? Now, today, let's see what John Maxwell can teach us about time management.
I love it when people come up to me and say, John, could you talk to me about time management? My answer is always the same. No, I really can't. Now, why do I say no when somebody wants me to talk about time management? It's very simple. You can't manage time. My name's John. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. And we're going to talk about this just for another half a minute because, you see, when you manage something, you do so to keep it going. Well, you don't need to keep time going. You don't even need to watch it. You can be completely unaware of it. You can go to sleep. Doesn't matter. Time just continually moves. Doesn't need you. It doesn't need me. It just keeps moving. We don't need to do time management because there's nothing to manage. It's automatic. It continually moves. What we need to do is priority management. With the time that is continually slipping away from us, we need to manage our priorities to maximize the time we have. So don't manage your time. Maximize your time. How? By doing the things that are the most important to do at that moment. Make every day your masterpiece. My name is John. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, now that's another great teaching. But let me ask you, what did you pick out as the main point to John's time management minute with us? Well, to me, it is that time happens to us regardless of how we try to manage it, that it is impossible to manage time, but we can maximize our time by instead managing our priorities. Good word. Minute with Maxwell. Thank you, John Maxwell. Now, if you've been with us for our last several times together, you know that we've been fielding some questions from our audience that relates to family financial issues. Now, this wasn't planned by me, it just kind of the way the Lord worked it out. So that being the case, we're going to continue along that same line for just a little bit longer. For example, here's a great family money question that may hit home to some. Bob, what do you think about separate checking accounts for husbands and wives? My husband and I were separated for over 2 years. Now we are reconciled and we're determined to make our marriage work. However, at this point, we are still keeping separate checking accounts. We both work and contribute part of our income to a fund to pay the bills, but we are not responsible to each other for whatever remains. Now, I don't get a warm feeling that this is right. What are your thoughts? Oh my goodness, ouch. I got to tell you, I'm sure my thoughts are going to rub some of you the wrong way, for sure. But in my opinion, having separate checking accounts is not a good idea. But let me explain. The Bible teaches that husbands and wives are to be one, right? I mean, take a look at Genesis 2:24 sometime. Now, to me, this means that couples should pool their incomes and their bills and have a common budget for common financial goals. For example, one short-term goal might be a consolidated budget. A long-term goal might include things like college fund for your children, you know, getting out of debt, you know, getting debt-free, preparing for ultimate retirement. My friend, listen to me. It is very unlikely that you can achieve these goals as long as you function like two individuals who are simply living together in your finances. That is not a marriage. I have to believe that you must merge your finances and make the commitment to doing your marriage God's way, right? Or that marriage, again, you're going to see it crumble, I got to believe, based upon what God's word says. Partial commitments simply do not work, okay? Good question. Here's another one. Bob, Larry Burkett used to say that he didn't approve of accepting government welfare. Does that include unemployment compensation? My husband is unemployed and he hadn't been able to find another job. He does have unemployment compensation available to him, but he will not take it because he said, Larry Burkett said, welfare is wrong. First of all, I've got to tell you that praise the Lord for his work in and through Larry Burkett, okay, upon which the foundation of this whole ministry is built. Christian Financial Ministries built a lot on the foundational work of Larry Burkett. Now, Sarah, let me tell you this. To best answer your question, I went back and found how Larry answered it so many years ago. And I got to believe that his answer then, it proves to be a really good answer right now. So listen carefully to Larry Burkett's words so you can see exactly what they were and how they may apply to you, okay? Larry Burkett said, "My objection to government welfare is not a biblical objection, it is a personal one. I believe the government is too intrusive in our lives and that by accepting government handouts, we make them more so. In my opinion, unemployment compensation does not fall under this same category. You contributed a percentage of your salary, as long as you were working, into a common pool to take care of people who are unemployed. You have a right to that money. So there is nothing wrong with accepting unemployment compensation. In fact, I encourage you to do so." That's a quote from Larry Burkett. So Sarah, as I said, I agree with Larry's opinion on the question. Yes, take advantage of your unemployment compensation to the maximum extent possible. Great questions. Well, my friend, there you have it. Another time for us to talk about your personal finances from God's perspective. Well, it is in the books. Now, where have we been together during our time today? Well, first, during our first of several radio seminar sessions on financial bondage, you started to see that according to the Bible, there are many ways that God wants to use money in your life. For example, today you learned that he will use money to help you determine whether or not you trust God or whether you just say that you trust God. Now, when you come back next time, you're going to see several more ways that the Lord wants to use money in your life. They're going to be great teachings, so don't miss it. You also heard from Clark Howard that grocery store products are going up fast, and some of them are going up even faster, and what you can do to keep your food prices in check. Remember, he suggested buying now and storing for later. Plus, he recommends that you start buying the store brands whenever possible. John Maxwell shared with you his thoughts on time management. And recall, we are to prayerfully work to set and manage our priorities, not time. And we just wrapped up with a great couple of real-world family financial questions and even a fantastic quote from the late Mr. Larry Burkett. So that's it for this week. I sure hope you're going to be back with us next time. And by the way, remember that you can re-listen to this program or any of our prior programs by heading over to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. Okay? Now, God willing, today's program is going to be posted by the time you get there. If not, it will be there pretty quickly. So check it out. www.christianfinancialministries.org. And also, if you have a question that you would like to ask and we can answer on air, you can do that by going to the website as well or by simply giving us a call at 828-835-0888. That's 828-835-0888. Okay, that's it for now. And as we close, as we always do, let me close us with a word of prayer. Oh my goodness, Father, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come, all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom God's way.